You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly political chat with the National Party's Jamie Lee Ross.
Kia ora, Jamie Lee. How are you going today?
Good, thanks. Kelly, nice to catch you again.
You
nice
too.
To last week.
I know, we had Easter Friday.
Yeah, you got Easter eggs, though.
Pardon?
That's better. You got Easter eggs, so that's better.
I did. It was a good Easter. How about for you guys? Did you do an Easter egg hunt in Parliament?
No, I didn't take part in the Parliament one, but I do have two little kids. They're 5 and 3, or 5 and 2, and they love that stuff, so it was great.
Very good. I'm 21 and I love that stuff, so I don't think you grow out of it, really. So this week, obviously, since we've had these 2 weeks off, we've got quite a lot to talk about. The transport announcements that have happened this week, obviously big for you as National Spokesperson for Transport now. Obviously, there's been a lot of announcements from Labor about their proposals for the coming years. What are some of the things that National is picking out as maybe not good?
Well, we're pretty concerned at the way in which they're wanting to ramp up taxes, and they're going to put up to 25 cents a litre more into, take that out of people's pockets at the petrol pump. They're also wanting to cancel a whole lot of projects that were in the pipeline around the country that people were expecting. I managed to get Phil Twyford to confirm yesterday that they're cutting $5 billion out of the state highway projects. Now, they're making a big song and dance about increased funding in the regional category and for safety. Those are good changes, but they're actually a very small part of the whole program. And the big numbers that are sitting there around state highways, those are for improving safety on many roads. It's also for improving economic development around the country too. But I know you and your listeners will be most interested in Auckland. Effectively, what they're doing is they're cancelling state highway projects around the country whilst taxing people more for that and putting into light rail in Auckland. Now, we need a combination of public transport and roads being built for Auckland and around the country. I don't deny that. But what they shouldn't be doing is cancelling safety projects that would save lives, that would lead to better economic outcomes and better transport outcomes for people, and throwing it all into rail. You need a good combination of the different modes. And with regards to light rail in Auckland, we think we need to increase public transport options. Busways are a good way to do that. When it comes to the point where it becomes economically viable to build, turn busways into light rail, then that's when you start to do that. I'm not convinced yet that light rail in Auckland is needed right now. And I think that there's a lot of opportunity that's being missed here. Light rail from the CBD to the airport will be very good for tourists, probably won't do a whole lot for Aucklanders.
So do you think that, I mean, I know that last year National was saying that they supported some, a better public transport from the city to the airport. What would be something that you would propose instead of a light rail?
So what we said with regards to that light rail project is, what you need to do as early as you can is protect the route, because one of the big costly aspects of doing any transport project is the property purchase and ensuring that people don't go and build where you want to go and put a road or put a busway or put a light rail system. So if we know in the long term something's going to be required, you should ensure that the route is protected and designated. So that's what we committed to. That's what we agreed to the council as well. Now, the council and the government, they want to see light rail. We were putting a lot into busways. We were putting a lot into the city rail link. We were putting a lot into electrifying rail and extending rail to the southern parts of Auckland. Those projects would have continued. And I think you can have better use of buses, and the busways are a more cost-effective way of doing things. The My Electric, for example, the Amity project, is effectively a busway from Panmure to Pakuranga to Botany. It'll eventually then connect to Manukau. When the population increases a lot more, then you turn that into a light rail system. Going the whole way right up front in a very costly manner that wouldn't actually give you the transport outcomes to justify the cost, then you're basically robbing large parts of New Zealand, taxing them more for the privilege, and putting into something that isn't as economically viable as it should be.
I suppose that's sort of something I'd like to touch on in terms of, you said a bit earlier about economic growth and that being quite a priority for National, and Jacinda Ardern has said that their main priority, in the government has been for safety, and that's sort of, that's the new strategy they're going for. Their four strategic priorities are safety, access, environment, and value for money. Also, I think our listeners would be quite interested to hear about, you know, what are some examples of how National might see safety for road users and environment as a priority, because they've been sort of, you know, really prominently highlighted under Labor and maybe not so much under National.
So they've done a really good job of trying to spin the major changes and take attention away from it. The reality is we were increasing the safety budget as well. We were putting more safety measures on state highways as well. They'll probably do that a bit faster than what we were proposing. In fairness, that is true. But we were increasing those budgets as well. Here's the other thing. They like to bag the roads of national significance. They like to say that they're a waste of money. Well, when it comes to safety, there are economic outcomes from them, which is positive for the regions and in Auckland. But when it comes to safety, the safest roads in the country are our roads of national significance. We've not had a fatality on one of the roads of national significance because they're so well designed, because they're so well built. And if you're an Aucklander and you do use the motorway network, which most of the city has to do, if you look at the likes of Waterview Tunnel, if you look at the likes of Victoria Park Tunnel, those were roads of national significance. The Western Ring Route work that's still ongoing, the future east-west connections and Mill Road that we would have been doing, those are roads of national significance that would have been safer, and those that have been built are very safe. They also have unlocked a lot of transport issues where they've been built. I mean, that Waterview connection has been very good for the people that use that part of the motorway network. So look, they are very negative on anything that starts with R, except if it's railway.
And moving on to Middlemore Hospital, obviously the state of Middlemore Hospital right now is dire. It's got asbestos, mould, raw sewage leak in the walls. Is this a problem that is accountable to the former health minister?
I think when you've got any health issues or any infrastructure issues like that that have arisen, then the minister at the time should be accountable. And Jonathan Coleman, I understand, has said that he understands there was need for more infrastructure spending in health, and we were putting more funding into that. He also says, though, that he wasn't told of just how bad the situation was there.
Do you believe that he wasn't told?
I have no reason not to believe him.
Well, I mean, the former health minister said that he's denied knowing anything about mould problems at Middlemore Hospital. I mean, I'm not trying to pin this on you, but I'm just saying, in general, as the National Party, now that Jonathan Coleman's gone, is somebody going to take accountability for the fact that, you know, the former DHB County's Manukau chair said that the decay in the hospital's been there since, like, long before 2016. So it just seems so odd that he wouldn't have known.
You don't get these issues happening in 1 year or even in 10 years. It sounds as though there's been a very long systematic problem where more funding at DHB should have been put into infrastructure. So the minister appoints boards. The minister puts in place funding, and then the DHBs make their own decisions about where infrastructure funding and what the split is between infrastructure and between the likes of how many operations they deliver. So the minister has overall accountability for the health system. I have no reason to doubt what he's saying. If he was told about it, I'm sure he would have taken more action around it. And if someone has evidence to the contrary, then they should produce it. But I haven't seen that so far. Bottom line is, though, that hospital needs a lot of work. The current government has significantly raised expectations by saying they're going to plough billions into health to supposedly fix everything. We need to see them stump up with the cash. If they're going to say in an election that they're going to be doing that, then let's see what they come up with in their budget. If David Clark wants to put more funding into health to fix Middlemore Hospital, then we're not going to, we're not going to cause a problem with regards to that. But it's now his obligation to pony up with what he said that he would do. And I think the people that use Middlemore Hospital and need it in County's Manukau would be expecting that to happen. And if we were in government, we would have been doing that.
Obviously, you know, they say that it's David Clark's obligation now, and you know, in a sense, going forward, that is the case. However, just looking in hindsight, should Jonathan Coleman apologise for leaving the public health system in such confusion for David Clark and then resigning with no acknowledgement of the chaos that he's left behind?
the reality with health is we were putting a lot of money into health. We took the health budget up to almost $17 billion, and we're putting an extra $900 million just last year into health. DHBs make decisions about how they use the health spend that they get for their district health board. And the DHB, along with support from the minister now, need to fix the problem. If we were still in government and Jonathan Coleman was still the Minister of Health, I'm sure he'd be doing everything he could to fix that situation. David Clark's now the minister, and whilst he doesn't have responsibility for what has happened in the past, he's now in the job, he's now got the checkbook. It's time for the government to front up with the cash they promised in the election. We're not convinced they actually have available the cash to do everything that they want, and we think they went far too far in their election promises and they'll be found wanting. But he's in the job now, and it's up to him to come up with the cash to fix the problems, and I wish him the best of luck.
Thank you so much, Jamie Lee, for joining us, and you have a lovely week.
You too. Thanks, Kelly.
That was the National Party's Jamie Lee Ross.
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.